Hello and welcome to Great British Sewing Bee Unpicked with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
And it is Series 9, Episode 7, 90s Week. But before we start, as always, we'll do our disclaimer that we are not associated with the Great British Sewing Bee, with Love Production, or with the BBC. This is just a personal podcast, two friends who like the show and like to talk about it. So, 90s Week. What were you doing in the 90s, Sean?
Well, I wasn't born until 92.
Oh, so
yeah, I wasn't around until 92 and then spent most of it growing up. I was a little lad. Can't really remember much of it, to be honest.
You were young and I was in secondary school for most of the 90s. I think I finished the 90s at university, but spent... So that's, I guess that was when I was kind of going out and about, really.
Yeah.
Ooh. Anyway, right. Well, that's what we were doing in the 90s. I hope everybody else had a good time in the 90s. Let's get cracking on the first challenge. So, first up, we've got the pattern challenge, which was a pair of cargo pants. I remember these very well from the 90s. They had 4.5 hours. It looked to me like it was about 19 pieces. They could pick any fabric they wanted. It was a fly front with an elasticated waistband. There were cargo pockets, which were the bellows style pocket with a gusset and a looked like a box pleat down the front. Now, to me, this seemed deceptively hard. When they said it was a cargo pocket, I thought that's not going to be too... It's cargo pocket, cargo trousers. I thought that's not going to be too difficult. But actually, when they started talking about it, I realized this is a lot of work. What did you think about this challenge?
I was very much in the same boat as you. I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be easy. I mean, I've never made cargo trousers. I've never actually worn cargo trousers.
What?
I've just never liked them. I just never liked the look of them. yeah, I've never worn cargo trousers. And so, yeah, in my head, I was like, oh, this is going to be a lot easier than it looks. And then when they started mentioning the pockets and everything else, and I was like, oh, okay, this is a lot harder than I initially anticipated. Yeah, this was a challenge. This was a proper brain teaser challenge. I actually felt really bad for them.
Yeah, I think this challenge was difficult. I think there was a lot of cutting out to do. So although they were given, I think, 4.5 hours, they probably spent the first hour just cutting out the pieces. Then there were a lot of little steps which were quite fiddly. So doing a fly front trouser, I mean, I think I've done about maybe 5 or 6 fly fronts. And every time I come to do one, I always forget how fiddly and confusing they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pockets themselves are not the easiest with that type of bellow gusset around the edge and getting that right, especially if you've never done one of those before. It's not like a patch pocket where you can just slap it on, so around the edges, you're done. It's a lot more fiddly than that. So I think so many little steps all kind of added up to being quite a lot to get on with. Plus also they've needed to do buttonholes on the pockets, so buttons on. There was a hook and eye as well, I think, on the top. So there were just tons to do. And only a few of them really got it finished.
Yeah, this was definitely one of those challenges where once you've realised how deceptively challenging it was going to be, there was always going to be a clear definition of those that really, really good and those that weren't as good. And it was I really felt for a lot of them in this challenge, because this was hard. This was really, really tricky. And you know what? It makes me so happy that like I wasn't on this season, because I was like, I would have been crying my eyes out. I would have been sewing it, and I would have been one of those that had gone, it's supposed to be cargo trousers. It's now turned into a dress.
Yeah, I don't think I would have managed to finish this, to be honest. I think this is a really tricky. I'm quite a fast sewer, but I just don't think I would have been able to get through all of these steps. I've got in my notes here, ask Sean if he ever had cargo trousers, but you've already answered that you haven't.
I mean, I might have had them. I just might have suppressed it from my memory. I don't remember wearing cargo trousers. I don't ever remember owning some, but I could have, and I've just suppressed it deep down. But yeah, in all, I don't think I have ever had or worn a pair of cargo trousers before.
Well, I had a pair. I think I had a couple of pairs, but I remember having a pair of, they were kind of like a kind of beigey, sandy, khaki kind of color, with massive pockets on. But they weren't like the huge ones. Like all the girls had like massive ones, like
Yeah.
All Saints style ones. Mine were like more fitted. And I loved them. I would put t like I put stuff in those pockets. Like I was carrying around everything with me. Like I could have survived like nuclear war. I had all the things I needed in there, and I loved them.
They were definitely a handy garment to have on. You did not need to carry a bag with cargo trousers.
No, and I think I want to like I've seen recently them coming back in fashion, and they've been on ASOS, and they've been on like a lot of the young celebs style influencers recently. So I think I might have to make a pair, maybe.
Okay, well, that'll be interesting to see. We'll see how you get on with it, and then I'll see if I'll take on the challenge as well.
I certainly will not be doing it in 4.5 hours. I might be doing it in 4.5 weeks.
Fair enough.
So let's get cracking. We've only got six contestants left now, so we've got a top three and a bottom three. So let's start off with the bottom. In sixth place, we had Lizzie, who had used a camo cotton. Couldn't see up close. I think it might have been like a cotton twill. I'm not sure. I've seen those fabrics before though, and it's quite often twill. Now, she had some issues where she put the zip in too low, so there was a bit of a gap between the top of the zip and the waistband. She didn't finish, so she didn't have buttons on, and the flap she had sewn too close to the top of the pocket. It just wasn't finished, and it was a bit of a mess. I thought the choice of the fabric was good because that's quite traditional for cargo trousers to use a camo. But yeah, she just spent too long on some of the early steps and then never quite caught up. What did you think of Lizzie's camo trousers?
I thought the fabric choice was really, really great, and she gave off a confidence. And I thought, you know what? Lizzie's got this. Lizzie has got this. She seems to know what she's doing. She seems to be prepared. And I was really, really shocked that it didn't work out. She had just given me so much confidence in herself. Yeah, this is what I'm doing. I know what I've got to do. I know the pattern. I know what they're supposed to look like. I know the best fabric. And then it was, oh, you're in last place. I was just very, very, very shocked to kind of see that someone who was so confident in themselves to end up in last position. Yeah, amazing fabric choice. I felt so bad for her that the fact that we were in sixth place. But I think they could have looked really good. She just needed to get over those first little issues, and then I think she could have actually come up quite high in this challenge had she had not met those hurdles.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's not a great place to start the week coming in last, but we've seen it in the past where people have been last on the first challenge and then pull it back. So I was kind of rooting for Lizzie to have a really good transformation and made to measure, but we'll get onto those in a little bit. In fifth place, we had Mia, who had used a green fabric. I couldn't quite tell actually what this fabric was. It had a bit of kind of shine to it, or kind of like a bit of a iridescent quality to it, but they didn't really say what it was. She had also not quite done the zip right and didn't have any buttons. There was no hem. She ran out of time. I think Mia, and she's done this in a couple of challenges where maybe she's not quite understood the pattern instructions, and she just thought, you know what, I'm going to plow on, I'm going to do it how I think it should be done, just so I can try and kind of get through it and get to the end. I don't know, it's a bit of a difficult one. Do you stop and unpick and redo, or should you just keep plowing on?
I think it depends on how wrong you've gone. If you've only gone slightly off, but you can sort of disguise it, continue on, continue going. But I think when you've gone really, really wrong, you need to kind of take a step back, because I think at least if you've managed to get yourself back on track, but you didn't quite finish, but you were there, you were nearly there, everything was on track, everything was semi-correct, I think it's a bit more forgivable. Whereas if you present something that's nearly finished but it's completely wrong, that's kind of when you go, okay, thanks for this. We asked you to make cargo trousers, you've now given me a skirt, like I would have probably have done. It was a really, really hard one, because I felt so bad. I don't think she quite understood what it was she was supposed to be doing. I mean, bless her, she's only a youngin. Like, this is probably the first time she'd ever heard of cargo trousers. I did feel bad for her. They weren't... I kind of feel like Lizzie should have been a bit higher.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know, there was just something about it. I just kind of felt like Lizzie should have ranked a little bit higher. She was on track, it just wasn't quite finished. Whereas Mia, I think I need to rewatch it again, and I've rewatched it for like the 100th time. I was watching it on my phone, writing on my notes, so I couldn't quite see all the little details as I normally would if I'm back at my flat and watching it on my TV. My notes are probably not the best for this episode.
Well noted on that. Right, we'll remember that later. That was fifth place. In fourth place, we had Lauren, who had picked kind of like a pale khaki cotton. I thought it was quite a good choice for the fabric. It was a bit messy, not finished, no buttons. There were a few little mistakes here and there. But I don't know, these bottom ones, they didn't seem like there was a lot between them.
Yeah. No, it definitely felt like they were all very, very close to each other. And I imagine the judges had a really hard time trying to separate them. Lauren, again, I liked the fabric choice. I thought she had made a sensible fabric choice, but it just wasn't good. And like I said, this is one of those classic challenges where you have the really clearly defining top and bottom three. It wasn't very good. I felt really bad because I really, really liked Lauren. And it was just, wasn't good at all.
Right, let's move on then. So in third place, we had Tony, who had also chosen a camo. It was different to Lizzie's, but it was it also looked like a cotton twill camo to me, which I think is quite a nice choice. You should be able to like press it and get quite, sharp edges, especially like on the pockets. It seemed generally pretty good, but was messy. There were a lot of loose threads. I think you just ran out of time and didn't have those few minutes to kind of really tidy up at the end. But they looked good up close. I didn't think they were as good, but he pretty much finished, I think.
Tony was going to be one of those I would have been really, really shocked if he hadn't done well on this challenge. And I think he actually did very, very well. It was a bit messy. It did need a bit of neatening up, but I don't know, for some reason when they mentioned cargo trousers, I was just kind of like, this is Tony's challenge. I don't know
Yeah.
what it was, but I was just like, this is Tony's challenge. This is going to be his time to really, really shine. And okay, he didn't shine, but he did very, very well. I was very, very impressed. I think I also would have been really shocked if he had turned around and gone, yeah, I've never worn cargo trousers, because I just can't imagine Tony in anything other than cargo trousers or cargo shorts.
Yeah, I'd imagine he would have been rocking some cargo trousers back in the day of the
Yeah.
90s. But he's a bit older than me, so I think he would have been probably in his mid-20s in the 90s, I'm guessing.
I'm not even going to attempt to do maths.
I think probably around that mid-20s-ish. So yeah, he would have been going to festivals. I can imagine him at Glastonbury.
Oh, 100%. I could see him at Glastonbury.
You know what? He would have his crochet needle in his pocket and with some wool.
Oh, God, yeah. He'd have the crochet needles in one, the wool in the other, and he's just like kind of rigged it so he can crochet whilst raving to all sorts going on at Glastonbury. I can see it now. I could see him like crocheting a whole new outfit for the next day.
Crocheting with a couple of glow sticks.
Oh, yes.
Right, back to current day. In second place, we had Asma, who had used a deep red fabric. Again, I'm not 100% sure what that fabric was, but that also had kind of an iridescent quality to it. I wasn't sure if it was like taffeta or something. It looked quite light, but it had drape to it. Anyway, she had, as always, done some incredibly neat sewing. It looked pretty much fantastic. The only thing the judges could really pull apart on there was that on the side seams down the legs, they said they seemed a bit bouncy. Now, is that because she didn't get time to really press those seams, or was it just the fabric choice? They were always going to be a little bit bouncy. I'm not sure. What did you think of Asma's trousers?
I loved the colour, but I think the fabric choice was a bit of an iffy one. I think it was the fabric choice that caused the bouncy hems. But I mean, Asma, always phenomenal sewing, no matter what happens. She did a really, really good job with her fabric choice. I think had someone told me, turn around and gone, I want you to make me some cargo trousers out of this, I probably would have gone, yeah, right, not gonna happen. See you later. I think she did a phenomenal job with what she had, as she always does. I think she probably would have had a better time had she picked something that just had a bit more structure to it.
Yeah, agreed. I think the same. But as always, Asma's actual sewing itself was just impeccable.
Yeah. 100%.
Then just pipped the post, Asma was beaten by Vicky, who came in first, and she had picked what looked to me like cotton twill. I have a big question mark here on colour, and I watched it again today and I paused it. And I could not tell what colour this was. I don't know if it was the light that was on it or what, because I've written down grey slash plum slash blue because when I paused it on different bits, it seemed to almost change colour, so I'm not answering what.
To be honest, I wasn't quite sure what the colour was either, so we'll both review and hopefully Vicky will message us like Fove did when we were questioning the colour of the Moomoo. Hopefully Vicky will message us and go, right, boys, just to let you know, it was this colour.
She'll be like, they were orange.
Yeah.
It looked incredibly well sewn. It was really fantastic all over, to be honest. It looked really well done, really neat. There weren't really any loose threads. Her stitching looked crisp. Yeah, fantastic. I mean, I haven't got any other words really to describe it. Just amazing.
Yeah, they were very good.
That was the pattern challenge. Moving on to the second challenge, we have the transformation challenge. They had 90 minutes to make a fancy dress outfit, and it had to be based on a 90s icon and from household textiles. Now, I would have really panicked because I think my mind would have gone blank and I wouldn't have known who the hell to have done. Did you have any ideas, or would you?
I did have an idea, and funnily enough, three other contestants had the same idea and I did. I was a massive Spice Girls fan, so I would have gone down the Spice Girls route.
I think I would as well. I think I would have run over to the fabric, and as soon as I saw either that Union Jack or the leopard print, I would have thought Spice Girls.
Yeah. Though I have to say, there were some other fabrics there that was like, you know what, we could have had a Spice Girls reunion here, and then they were used for other people. I was like, I'm a little bit disappointed, I'm not gonna lie. I was kind of hoping to see a Spice Girls reunion through Sewing Bee.
That would have been fun if five of them had done Spice Girls and then me had done Madonna. That would have been awesome. Sadly, we only got three Spice Girls, not all five. So let's quickly go through our tops and bottoms. Who have we got on top? So actually, no, let's start from the bottom. In last place, we had Asma, who had used J-Lo for her inspiration and produced some low-cut kind of capri trousers with a halter neck top and a furry jacket. I thought the trousers were very J-Lo. Like, I remember her wearing stuff like that. I just think maybe the fabric wasn't right, so the judges just didn't get the reference.
Yeah, I also, I don't know, I think J-Lo's a bit of a hard one because I don't necessarily just associate her with the 90s. I know the Spice Girls went into the noughties as well, but Spice Girls were very iconic in Britain in the 90s. I mean, they were iconic all around the world in the 90s. I think J-Lo was a bit of a difficult one to try do, just because I think there are so many other people that she could have done. And yeah, I just don't. The bottoms worked really, really well. The top, not so much. And yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it was the fabrics themselves, the shape of the garments that she made, very J-Lo. But the actual textiles, the patterns and everything on them, weren't giving it.
Yeah, it looked like bedding, and it looked like almost like a grey tie-dye or something to me.
Yeah.
Definitely. I agree with everything you said. I don't think that there was enough of an iconic look from J-Lo maybe in the 90s that would have stood out.
Yeah.
Like, if I think of J-Lo, I think of her wearing that famous kind of green dress with the kind of slit, and it was a little bit kind of see-through.
Yeah.
But that was much later. That was in, like, the noughties, probably late noughties or something, or maybe even later than that. I think she had a bit of a hit and a miss. Those trousers, though, were so well made, and they fit that mannequin like a glove. The fit on those trousers was incredible.
They were very, very good.
I don't know how she managed to do all of that sewing in 90 minutes, and it all looked really well done and really clean and crisp. So well done, Asma. Just a shame they didn't pick up your inspo. In fifth place, we had Lizzie, who had produced a Prodigy Raver Girl, which was a halter neck top in kind of like neon fabric with a skirt with those kind of like giant kind of sequiny things on them. I thought the look was kind of cute and very 90s, but again, she had the same issue where it just wasn't screaming the iconic look that they were trying to do.
Yeah, I think this was one of those. I think it's one of those challenges people can get quite personal, and they can think about people who were iconic to them at the time, but might not necessarily have been a general iconic person. Like, whereas when you think of like the Spice Girls and Madonna, everyone kind of knows who they are. It would be if you showed a picture of Spice Girls or Madonna to someone, they would be able to tell you exactly who they are. Whereas I think Keith from Prodigy, I think was a bit of a challenging one because not everyone's going to be into it. The Prodigy, though they are amazing, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this. They're not as massively iconic as other people in pop culture.
I know what you're trying to say. Also, I would probably add to that that if you had a mannequin with something that Keith would have worn, like he used to wear a lot of oversized jumpers, which had kind of like holes in them. And they were like oversized knit jumpers, which quite often would have like a pattern or like something like a big star or like a smiley face or something on them. And then he quite often wore, they were almost like trousers, but they were kind of cut mid-calf and like kind of frayed and stuff. And then he would have like a chain. So I think if you had that on a mannequin, people could look at that and go, oh, that's the Prodigy. But actually, what she made was somebody going to a Prodigy gig. So I can kind of see why the judges just did not get the reference.
I think also, like, where I get that she used those bits of fabric to kind of resemble his like double mohawk that he used to have. But I don't know. I think that was the bit, like, it's you're supposed to be your sewing that's supposed to represent this person, not two strips of fabric you've just pinned to the top of the mannequin. And I think she put a lot of hope in that, making it obvious to the judges. Whereas it was just a case of it's two bits of fabric that you pinned to the top of the mannequin.
Yeah, it was a bit of a miss, I think, on Lizzie's part there. In fourth place, we had Vicky, who had chosen Ginger Spice as her inspiration, and she had a couple of Union Jack pillows, which she had made into a top, which kind of looked like it kind of crossed over at the back, and a skirt. And she'd put a little pocket on for glow sticks, which I thought was cute. I thought the whole outfit was really cute, actually.
Yeah, this whole outfit was adorable. I really, really liked it. And I mean, we had a battle of the Jerry Halliwells. And I'm sorry, but there is not a more iconic outfit for Jerry Halliwell than the Union Jack dress. And the fact that, like, my favorite bit is the bit of history behind this dress was the fact that it was, I can't remember the exact designer. But it was a designer cocktail dress that she had. And she kind of sat there and went, no, this is a bit boring. And got a Union Jack tea towel and got her sister to sew the tea towel onto this designer dress. And I was like, that is just iconic. That is absolutely iconic. And like, still people think that that dress was made that way No, it was Jerry Halliwell going, nah, I'm going to stick a tea towel on the front of this cocktail dress.
It is hilarious that that was a tea towel. Like, it's just, and it's so iconic as well. Yeah. Like, if you saw that and you took her head off, and or you saw that out of context and somebody photoshopped it somewhere else, you would instantly know who that was and when that was. It was mm-hmm. such an iconic moment. So yeah, I thought that was a really good choice.
Very good choice.
What did you think comparing the two gingers together?
I preferred Vicky's.
You see, I also think I preferred Vicky's. I thought that Tony's was probably closer to the original in it, although it wasn't that similar, it was closer being a dress and everything to the original look.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to fancy dress, yeah, maybe you would pick Tony's, but I thought Vicky's was maybe a little bit more creative.
Yeah, I just genuinely preferred Vicky's overall. Tony did a really, really good job. I just leant more towards Vicky's on this one.
Yeah, so Tony came in third place. He had used the bedding from the same set, so he had a lot more fabric to play with. And he had produced a simple dress which had a kind of draped, almost cowl neck front to it. He'd been quite clever where he had placed the Union Jacks. It looked, you know, fairly well put together. It fit the mannequin okay. And there was a couple of like little messy bits to it, but I thought it was a nice dress. But yeah, I think in my book, I would have put Vicky above Tony.
Mm-hmm. No, it was good. He did a really good job. He picked someone that was very, very iconic. I think it was a bit of a risk having the two people doing the same person on the same outfit. Yeah, he did a good job. I just prefer Vicky's.
Yeah, agreed. So in second place, we had Mia, who had gone for Madonna cone bra era, where she had produced, it was almost like a bikini style top and a wrap mini skirt. I thought this was very fun. It was very recognizable. It was from an iconic look, the Jean-Paul Gaultier inspired look that she wore on tour. I thought it looked like an interesting construction. She had to make the cones. She looked like she stuffed them and then covered them in the pink fabric. What did you think of Mia's Madonna look?
I liked it. This was the one that I was like, this could have either have gone Madonna or Baby Spice.
Mm.
And I was a little bit gutted that we did not get Baby Spice. But it was good. She did a good job. It wasn't massively my favourite. The top was well constructed. The skirt wasn't my favourite, but it was nice to see that she did something a little bit different. Yeah, she did a good job. I've not really got any critique for it. It was fun. It was, you got the reference that she was trying to make.
Definitely, yeah. She picked a reference that was very iconic. Going back to your Baby Spice comment, you see, I thought a little bit the same. If they'd been, you know, pink or baby blue, that you could do baby. But the problem with that is I think part of her iconic look is the platform trainers and the hair in bunches.
Yeah.
And if you take those two away, quite often she would wear a very simple, almost like slip dress.
Yeah.
But if you take the shoes and the hair away, then I don't know if she would be as iconic a look.
I get that. I completely get what you mean by that.
But whereas I think if you did sporty and you did some trousers with Adidas stripes down them, and she always wore those tops that were a bit kind of halter necky where her shoulders were out. So I think like sporty had a very precise and I think even posh, just a very simple black dress and you're pretty much there. But yeah, that was just my little comment on that. And then in first place, we had Lauren, who had also picked a Spice Girl, and she had gone for Scary Spice, and it looked like she had some leopard bedding. And she had produced a halter neck top, which she had lined with black fabric. So I don't know how she got, found the time to actually line it as well. And then she had, I don't know if it was from curtains or something, but it was like almost like a buckle.
Yeah, it looked like a ring, like something you'd get on curtains. It looked like one of those sorts of rings that you could get to hang your curtains up. Oh my God, this one made me so happy. I mean, as anyone who's been listening to our podcast for a while knows, I love leopard print. I love the Spice Girls, and Lauren gave me Spice Girls with leopard print, and oh my God, it just made me so happy. I was just living for this. This would have been what I would have beelined for. I would have rugby tackled people out of the way for print. There would be no way on earth anyone else would have been able to touch that fabric. I would have rugby tackled anyone. You know what? If I was on this season and Gilly was still in, I would have rugby tackled Gilly for that fabric.
I do definitely believe you on that
Yeah,
because
the sewing bee becomes a contact sport.
I've seen you spot leopard print out at out at when we went to the sewing festival. I've seen you spot leopard print from like 50 yards
From outside the building.
and beeline for it. I thought this was such a great look. It is an iconic thing because as soon as you see leopard print and you think of the 90s, you think of Scary Spice.
Yeah.
She picked a top that Scary would have most definitely worn.
Yeah.
And those trousers, I think Scary had those trousers in like leopard print, but also I think she wore those trousers in like a green sparkly fabric for Wannabe video.
Yeah, I do believe you are right there.
Yeah, if it wasn't that, it was one of the videos I remember her having like trousers almost identical to that in green. So she picked a silhouette and the leopard print. I thought it was fantastic. It was really great to see Lauren come first because I think this is the first time she's got first.
I was so happy for her. Like, really, really, really happy for her.
Well done, Lauren. So that was quite an eventful transformation challenge.
It was indeed.
And it wasn't too high concept either. So it was kind of stuff that people could do at home with some bedding and that.
Yeah, if you are going to a 90s themed party and you forgot to go and get a costume, it goes to show that you could go into anything and get make yourself something.
Right, now let's move on to the final challenge of this week, which was the Made to Measure, where they had to produce a 90s supermodel dress. It seemed like they kind of had option to do anything they wanted as long as it could tie back to kind of one of those iconic dresses from the 90s. What did you think of this challenge?
This got me very, very excited. Just because, don't get me wrong, fashion has been incredible throughout the decades, but there was just something about 90s supermodels in dresses. And I know what people are going to say. It was a very, very toxic time. There was body image issues. It was always the very, very skinny, skinny models. But there was just something so iconic about the 90s when it came to supermodels and fashion, and it just makes me think of the kilt pin dresses, the Naomi Campbell walking down in that fringe, and the way the fringe just swayed. There was just something. It's just something that always just makes me smile. And I think what always kind of inspired me to like love fashion and go into sewing, I think is deeply rooted in fashion of the 90s. Yeah, I was very excited to see what was going to come out of this.
Yeah, there was it was a very interesting time in fashion. There was a lot going on and a lot of different looks, and it was a period where the supermodels had become celebrities and had become this thing in their own right. Whereas I think before that, in the 80s, there was a couple models people might know, but they weren't as celebrity as it then became in the 90s, where you had Kate Moss and Naomi Campbell and Linda Evangelista and like loads of really super famous. And there was the movie Pret, was it? Anyway, there was a very famous movie about the supermodels as well. Just it was a really interesting time, and there was a lot of experimental things going on with fashion. I think this would probably be quite a difficult made to measure to choose something.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff out there that would have really got me inspired, and I think I would have struggled quite a lot with trying to settle on just an idea.
Yeah, there's quite a few different iconic looks, and I was happy to see quite a few of the ones that came up in my head straight away when I heard about this were represented here. So let's start talking about some of them. First up, we've got Vicky, who had produced a strapless red satin dress, which had like a paneled boned bodice, and the boning on the bodice was an ivory satin look like, which channels which have the boning in. So for people who maybe aren't familiar with boning, Vicky created small channels which she then pushed the bone in. I'd imagine that would have been like a plastic boning, do you think?
Yeah, I think for what they were having to do, it would have been plastic. I mean, typically in dresses as well, it is plastic boning. It only really tends to be like corsets where you'd have steel boning just because you are having to bring that dress in so much that it stops the bodice from actually kind of imploding in on itself.
You see, Sean is the expert here. I don't generally do boning or corsetry, but Sean knows all about this area.
I do love a good bit of corsetry.
Now, I thought this dress was absolutely stunning. There was a few very minor issues with some seams, I think, at the back where they'd become a little bit wavy and maybe some few little puckers in there, but generally, I thought this looked really beautiful. I think the model felt absolutely gorgeous in this. You could tell by the way she was walking and her face that she felt like $1 million. I will say I probably agree with what the judges said, that it would have been nice if it had just had one more channel going around the waist, because it did those kind of lines kind of ended abruptly. And it would have just kind of given a bit of a full stop there if it had had that round it. But apart from that, I thought it was absolutely beautiful. Did you like it?
It was beautiful. It's one of those I loved it, but there was for me just it felt like something was missing. And I think it was just where we had those channels on the bodice and then they just stopped. And it just, yeah, I completely agreed with the judges that it either just needed something around the waistline so it acted as a full stop to those boning channels, or for those channels to come down further, so they were actually on the skirt part of the dress itself. It was beautiful. I love the color combination. There was just, for me, it just felt like it was really missing something.
It was an ambitious project as well to take on.
Definitely.
I don't know, actually, I didn't catch how many hours they had for this.
Oh no, I can't remember either.
I don't know if they actually mentioned it, because I watched the show, I think, twice, and I didn't pick it up either time, but I'm assuming it was probably like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it was around 5. I think they had longer for this one.
So that is, it's still, even for 5 hours, it's quite an ambitious
Yeah.
project to take on. And I think she did really well with
She
that.
did very well.
So moving on, we have Mia, who had, she had used a Versace as her inspiration, and she'd produced a black velvet dress with a slit up the kind of front off center and gold chain detail. It has an exposed gold zip at the back. There were some issues here where it felt a little unfinished because she didn't get all the chains added on like she had planned to, which I think was a shame because I think if she had managed to get a few more chains on, it would have really elevated it and added that Versace feel to it. What did you think about it?
This was one I got really, really, really excited about and was really disappointed. It was I love a bit of Versace. I love 90s Versace. I got very, very excited to see this because I was getting the references. We were also having the kilt pin references to the dress. I loved the thigh high slit in it. It was so 90s red carpet glamour. I was really, really excited, and yeah, it just I kind of get with she kind of ran out of time, and I think had she had picked an easier fabric to work with rather than the black velvet, I think she would have had an easier time assembling the dress to get the decorations on. But because it was quite a simple dress, but a slightly challenging fabric, I think that was kind of her main hurdle, and it prevented her from having enough time to get all the decorations on. And I did agree, I disagreed with the judges when they said about having the chain in the slit of the dress. I really, really liked that, and I would have loved to have seen more chains in the slit of the dress within reason, because obviously they're going to be quite heavy and they're going to pull on the velvet. But I think she did a really, really good job. I would have loved to have seen it finished.
Yeah, agreed. I think it could have been absolutely fantastic if it had been finished. I liked the black velvet because it felt very Versace. I do agree with you that it's not the easiest fabric to work with, especially if you're under time pressures. I've done a few things with velvet before, and when you're sewing it right side to right side, it kind of sticks together like Velcro, and positioning pieces together can be a real pain. And then if it's like the velvet that I've used before, when you're doing wrong side to wrong side, it can be kind of slippery, like the back of the velvet can sometimes
Yeah.
be quite slippery in it, and then things can shift around. So when I used velvet last time, I used so many pins, but I know that when they're under this much time pressure, they probably just chuck a couple pins in and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
So yeah, it definitely, I think that velvet ate up so much more of her time than she probably thought it was going to, and that's why she didn't get those chains on, which was a real shame.
But I will give her praise on the fact that she remembered to cut everything in the same direction, because you've got the nap when it comes to velvet. And even though you can look at it from both angles and it will look identical, the moment you have two different panels going different ways and you've got the nap going up and then down or left and right, it is so noticeable. And sometimes it can look really, really clever. I have seen there's a costume designer that I'm a massive fan on who played with the nap of velvet, and actually had she layered the same color velvet up, but had the naps going in different directions, so it actually looked like two different fabrics, which is very, very clever. But Mia needs a round of applause for remembering to consider the nap when you're under that time constraint, because I don't think a lot of people would have remembered to make sure that they had all of their pattern pieces go cut in the same direction.
Definitely, and that would have really stood out, especially on such a dark velvet as well.
Yeah.
And just explained, nap is, it's like the fuzziness, it's like the kind of elongated threads, and they will sit in a certain direction, and when you push them in a different direction, it changes the color of the fabric. So that was Mia. Next up, we have Lauren, who used a looked kind of like silk or something kind of silk based. It was a kind of plummy charcoal color, and she had cut it on the bias. It was quite a simple dress, almost a little bit like a slip dress with spaghetti straps. Because it was on the bias, it had a beautiful drape, but there were some fit issues over the bust and in the back. And if you're doing something that simple, it has to really fit well and has to be really sewn well. What did you think of the direction that Lauren went in?
She deserves a round of applause for doing something on the bias because that is not an easy job to do. So she deserves a lot of praise. It was a shame it wasn't as finished as she'd hoped. But when you're dealing with the bias, you could have the most stable fabric in the world. The moment you cut it on that bias, it is going to stretch and warp all over the place. And she did very, very well. And it is one of those, it's that technique of the less you handle the fabric, the better. It's a lot like pastry, that the more you play around with it and the more you handle it, the worse it gets. It gets out of shape, it gets overheated. It warps and it doesn't become the product that you really want it to be. So I think she did very, very well because that was very brave. I don't think I would have braved in a competition like this. I don't think I would have braved cutting something on the bias, but you get such a beautiful drape and a beautiful fit when you do make, especially dresses, when you cut dresses on the bias. There's just something about the shape that you get from it, which is just phenomenal.
Yeah, and it just moves so well when you see one that's cut on the bias and you see somebody moving it. It just kind of floats and hugs the body. So that's a real skill to be able to do that. And it was just a bit of a shame that there was a few issues with Lauren's dress.
Yeah, there was just, it was very, very brave, and she deserves loads of recognition for the work that she put in. But I think it was a bit too ambitious for a competition.
Okay, interesting. That's controversial. Up next, we've got Tony, who had produced a black and beige dress, which had a diagonal line basically cut down it, separating the two colours. So it was like colour blocked. It was in a scuba. So we've seen Tony do a few things in scuba now. It was a bodycon dress, so very figure hugging. It looked well sewn, apart from the neck where he'd kind of screwed up a little bit on his stitching, and then there was some looked like some extra fabric around the armpit. Like, I don't know whether when he was doing it, maybe he could have done some kind of dart or something before he put the sleeves in.
There was definitely a lot of fabric. I think the pattern needed tweaking. I'm not sure if a dart would have helped. It might have done. But also putting a dart in stretchy fabrics, as we've seen with when Matthew put a dart into a stretchy fabric, it can go horribly wrong. It is not the easiest of fabrics to put a dart into. I'm not sure how I felt about this dress. To me, I don't know. I could be completely wrong, and anyone who's listening, please correct me, but I just wasn't getting 90s.
I would agree with you that I thought personally Bodycon was a little bit later and was more kind of noughties.
Yeah, I mean, even like later noughties, like in the kind of 2010s onwards, I remember bodycon dresses. It just wasn't. When I think of 90s, I think of sculptural, I think of body fitting, but I think of drape more than anything else. I think of flowing fabrics. I think of cocktail dresses, but the fabric looks like it's fluid. I don't think of bodycon dresses. And yeah, just for me, I liked it. It just didn't give me 90s vibes. And also color blocking. I don't really, when I think back, I think of the little black dress. I think of sleek, chic, kind of one color with details, not color blocked.
Yes, I would agree with you. I think this was the least 90s of all the outfits that were made. The only thing that I think of 90s and color blocking is in Absolutely Fabulous. I remember Idina has like a tracksuit, and different parts of it are like completely different, like primary colors is like red, yellow, blue, green and stuff, and it's really like the color blocking, everything is really clashing and it's really in your face. So I think if you were going to do 90s color blocking, it has to be that kind of really bold, bright colors, not the kind of beigey, biscuity kind of color that he used. It just felt, yeah, later than the 90s, definitely.
It was a beautiful dress and really well done, apart from the small little issues. But I just didn't really get 90s from it. It was a beautiful dress. It just, for me, did not hit the brief. It kind of felt like it's just gone, well, I can't think of what to do, so I'm just going to make a dress. And yeah, if you had told me that was a 90s inspired dress, I would have been very, very confused.
Yeah, definitely. Right, so that was Tony. And up next we have Lizzie, who had also done a dress cut on the bias like Lauren did. Actually, both dresses kind of had a lot of similarities to them. Lizzie had used, it was kind of like a goldy kind of color. It was a slip dress, so it had the spaghetti straps in there. Unfortunately, I think she spent too much time maybe cutting it or on the spaghetti straps or something on the bodice, maybe the darts or something, because in the end it was very messily done. There was, I think she'd done a French seam, and there was some of the raw edge was sticking out. There was some puckering. It was not to the standard that I think they were looking for such a simple dress. And really, Lizzie had been kind of in the bottom for the other challenges, so she really needed to pull it out of the bag on this challenge, and she just felt like she felt a bit short. Would you agree with that?
I do, and it's a shame because I actually loved her reference for this, that it was based on that gold dress that Courtney Love wore. I can't remember where she wore it to. So I really, really love that reference. I really got it because it was kind of reminding me of kind of my childhood, going into my teenage years, being into grunge music. I really, really love this reference, and I really wanted her to do really, really well in this. I also think one of the biggest issues, and again, listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're cutting something on the bias, I don't think doing French seams is a very sensible option. To me, in my head, And I've never tried this, and maybe this week I will give it a go, find some fabric, see what happens. But I know, like, French seams, you trim them down, you then seal them up again, but the seams do become a little bit bulky. They're bulkier than your regular seams would be. And I can't help but feel that's going to slightly affect the fluidity of cutting something on the bias.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I understand what you mean. So whether she had, instead of doing French seams, if she had just done a regular seam and pressed it flat.
Yeah.
Whether that would have been a sleeker finish.
I think it would have saved her a lot of time. And I think we would have had a sleeker finish overall.
Okay, it's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That actually encasing the seam with the French seam, that actually that might affect the way the dress is. That's an interesting point.
I think it's going to have to be something I'm going to have to try and hopefully prove myself wrong. But just in my head, when I think of it, I think of cutting something on the bias. I don't think I get the logic behind doing the French seams, because you're going to get a bit more fray with cutting something on the bias. So at least then the French seam's going to encase all of that in. But just in my head, I'm just imagining that that French seam is going to add a bit more bulk to the dress. I don't know. I think it's something I'm going to have to try and see, and hopefully I'm completely wrong.
Right, well, you're gonna have to keep us informed on that.
Yeah, I will do.
I remember actually back in the 90s where girls would wear this kind of bias slip dress and would wear like big boots or Doc Martens with them. That took me back to go into see bands when I was 15, 16 years old. Anyway, enough of Rob's youth. let's move on to and talk about Asma's dress, which was a lingerie inspired, where in the 90s there was a lot of this underwear as outerwear and a lot of lingerie style outfits. It was a, it looked like to me, it was like a beige base fabric with kind of like a black lace on top.
Yeah,
it had a bra bodice. It had kind of like a, almost like a mermaid tail skirt.
Yep.
With leather trims. It was very detailed. It was meticulously sewn. The fit was incredible on the model. Sewing that pleather, I've done it a couple of times, and it is not easy to work with. You can't stick pins in it, because once you've made a hole in pleather or leather, that hole is there forever. So you, one, can't use pins generally. You have to use those little like clips. And two, if you sew it and then you think I've sewn that in the wrong place, you have to cut the piece again, because you can't unpick it. Because if you unpick it, you have to have a row of holes through it. So yeah, it's not easy to work with and does take a lot of time and effort. And also it can be really difficult to actually, especially when you've got a few layers of it, to get the sewing machine to put the needle through it, because it really becomes quite thick and difficult to deal with. So I thought that Asma did incredible with this. Were you a fan of this dress?
This dress made me so happy. Oh my God, this was stunning. Like, it actually made me cry when I saw the model come down it, because it was just like, this was just giving me those 90s vibes. It was stunning. It was that little cocktail dress. The only thing and it's not really a critique, I would have liked to have seen it without the fishtail.
Okay.
I get why she put the fishtail on it. I would have liked to have seen it without, just because I think without, I would have got a stronger 90s vibe from it. But I absolutely loved this so much. It gave me goosebumps. It inspired me to get into my box of patterns and find something and make something similar to it. It was just so beautiful, so detailed. This was Asma's challenge, and she has struggled on the made to measures. The design wise, she's always just missed the mark. This was just so beautiful, so phenomenal. I'm not sure if you're getting this listening to me talking about it, but I loved this. Just want to make that clear. I absolutely love this, just in case no one understands me. Oh my God, this was beautiful.
I would echo everything that Sean's just said. I'd also say as well that although it did have really heavy influences from the 90s, it didn't feel like it was a 90s costume either. It felt like it was still kind of modern and current, and you could wear that now and still look stunning and beautiful and cool. And it wasn't like a pastiche of the 90s. It wasn't like over exaggerating a point from the 90s. It was taking inspiration from the 90s and making a beautiful dress, and that you can see where that inspiration had come from, but still being a beautiful dress on its own.
You know what it also reminded me of, though, is it was giving me, I feel really bad, I've forgotten the name of the designer that originally inspired it, but it was also giving me Versace, but it was also giving me Zac Posen when he made Christina Ricci's dress for the Met Gala. And if anyone hasn't seen it, Google Zac Posen Christina Ricci Met Gala dress. It is one of the most stunning dresses I have ever seen in my life. And this is the thing I loved about Asma's, is like, it was something that could have been made in the 90s, but is still timeless now, that it will still be worn in decades to come. Like, it doesn't feel like something that's just was made in the time and it stays there. This feels like something that could be worn every single decade. And I just loved it.
Definitely. Let's move on to Garment of the Week, which was Asma's dress. I think we're both in agreement that that was the right decision. It felt like it was on another level compared to everybody else's.
100%. We did miss a couple of contestants, though, Rob.
Oh, have we? What did we miss?
Wait, we talked about Mia, Lauren, Tiny. Oh, no. Oh, God, I'm losing count already. I'm so sorry.
There's only six.
We've missed someone.
There's only six now. It's getting down to that stage.
Sorry, that's my bad. Do you want to start that bit again?
I will edit around, or I will leave this in as a blooper.
Okay, we leave it in as a blooper and just me having a moment.
I'm starting to worry about you, Sean.
Yeah, I'm tired. I was at a wedding.
So that was our Garment of the Week. And it was great to see Asma get Garment of the Week, because I feel she's had a couple made to measures that I wasn't a massive fan of. I'm thinking of the Regency coat and the Art Week where she had like a snake on it, where I wasn't keen on those two.
Yeah.
And then she's had a couple of really great ones, and it felt like she kind of just missed out on Garment of the Week. So it was really nice that she got this, because her sewing is just absolutely out of this world.
It is phenomenal. And also, I think she's clearly really listened to the judges. When, like Patrick said to her on Art Week, that there's a smart way to go about it to get the same outcome, but it's a bit more edited.
Definitely.
And I think she's really listened to the judges, but also having that background of working with bras, I think that really played to her advantage, because that was the main feature of this dress, was the bralette, the cups, everything. So I think that really played to her advantage of understanding how to create this shape beautifully, how to manipulate the fabric round. Oh my God, I just love this dress so much.
Right, well, we have to stop talking about it because otherwise half the podcast is just going to be about this dress.
Shall we just start an I Love Asthma podcast?
It's too much hard work doing this one. We are definitely not having a second one. Right. So that was Garment of the Week. And the next thing we need to talk about, which is who went home. And this week we had to say a very sad farewell to Lizzie. And it was a very emotional goodbye. Lizzie brought up points where doing this had really brought her closer to her mum, who'd sadly passed away when she was 12. And how it kind of kept her mum alive to her when she was using skills that her mum had given her. So on that level, it was really sad. Also, it was sad because the group's been together now for so long and they really feel like they all care for each other. And so it's really sad to see Lizzie go. And Lizzie's personality had really kind of come out and shone probably since about West Africa Week. And she seemed like such a lovely person. It is going to be really sad to see her go.
It definitely made me well up listening to her talk about how sewing has made her feel close to her mum again. It really, really got to me. And I think it's such a shame because Lizzie kind of always blended into the background in the first couple of episodes, and then West Africa Week came on and we got to see Lizzie and I got so excited, and it's just a shame that she's not there anymore to kind of see what she does next. But she is a talented sewer. As we've seen, she has got some amazing skills and her mum has taught her so well and would be so proud of her.
Definitely. So that was Lizzie. So goodbye to Lizzie. And next week, we're moving on to Fashion Icon Week, which I think is going to be interesting. It feels like it might be kind of similar in some respects to this week, because this week we had a lot of talking about icons from the 90s and fashion icons and fashion looks. So I'll be interested to see what they pick.
I'm looking forward to this one. Like, I've already got some ideas of what I would have done, which is always fun. I love those episodes where you're like, oh, if I was there, I would have done this. And this is what I would have planned for. And then what the actual result would have been would have been completely far off of what I had planned to make in the first place. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Like, it really feels like we're getting down to the nitty gritty. Like, we're at the last five and it's a fairly even playing ground, minus maybe Asthma, who is just amazing. And yeah, I'm kind of interested. I'm kind of scared as to who's going home next, though.
Yeah, it is on that level. I don't know. I think it's all going to be if you've got a bad day, if you have a bad week, that's it, you're out.
Yeah. I think it's very much going to be the case of if you don't do well in one of the first two challenges, that is it. If you are not in the top three, you are at risk of going home.
Definitely. Right, well, we'll do more discussions on that, especially what me and Sean will do and those challenges next week. And that was 90s week for you. So it was goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.